Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we ask as we go to your word, we thank you for it. We thank you for the power of your word. We realize, too, at times that when you would have us listen, sometimes we're preoccupied with other things. So we ask you would help us to be not only hearers but doers of the word. These things have been written for our benefit. We ask, Lord, in our lives that we may bring honor and glory to you. Help us, Lord, in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, then let me encourage you. If you need one, go to the information table. We'll make sure you get a Bible. All right. Last night, soon I decided we would watch a movie, and we were watching a movie, and we noticed that right beforehand there was we watched the news, and there was somebody talking about how excited they were because they are working on the premier software so that online gambling can really flourish in America. And how much of a help that's going to be to the state of California because of taxes and stuff like that. They're not the ones that have to talk to people in their office when there's no money to pay the rent. When a husband or wife finds out that their spouse is addicted to online gambling. But the world was pretty excited about that. Won't it be great for California? Okay. Then I'm watching and I'm adding up how many. When did they start? It was since I moved back from New Zealand. It was during while I was gone. I should never have gone because what happened was is they legalized all these ads for hard liquor on television. I'm not sure when that started. Really bad idea. Glamorizing that you can really be a macho man if you drink this whiskey. That's not what I see in Lake County. That's not what I've seen as a pastor. I've seen people completely destroying their lives because they're addicted to alcohol. I don't know what you've seen, but that's what I see. So gamble on, make it easier to gamble. You don't even have to drive to lose all your money online. Make it simpler. Helps us with the tax dollars. Helps us pay for schools. Drink all the whiskey you want because somebody's making money off the ads. And then beyond that, there must have been 6 ads for this new website where you can go to see pictures of naked people. This is, what station is this? This is some Turner. Yeah, have nothing to do with a good Turner name, I'm going to say. Yeah. Amen, Willie. I'm Willie. Okay. Yes, Ted Turner. Blame him. No, it's just, that's your basic. Well, we watched a movie about Alcatraz, you know. And I'm thinking, great, the world's saying if you want to be happy, gamble, drink, and watch pictures of stuff that you don't need to be looking at. The world is sick. We need to make sure that we have that sorted out. Now, the people in the world Christ died for. We're supposed to love people. Love the Lord. But we're not supposed to cozy up to the things that are destroying people. Well, we're going to look at a story here of the first murder in the Bible. And it really had to do over the issue of worship. And so that's what we want to look at. I want to start, we're going to read, starting in chapter 3, verses 22. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now let us stretch out, he will stretch out his hand and take from us also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed cherubim, flaming sword, which turn every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Okay, so you have the fall of man. God says, listen, you can't live in the Garden of Eden anymore. You got to go east, cultivate the land east. And he has flaming cherubims out there. And I tell you, because I love studying history, for years and years and years, people have been looking in the deserts trying to find these flaming cherubs, you know? All right, they haven't found them yet, but, you know, that's what they're doing. They got nothing else to do but find flaming cherubs out in the Iraqi desert. But anyway, there you go. Here's what it says in verse chapter 4. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to a brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord, the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from the face by thy face I shall be hidden, and I shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And it shall come about that whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. The Lord appointed a sign for Cain, lest anyone finding him should slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod to the east of Eden. Wow. All right. When you study these passages, getting prepared to teach them and preach them, it's pretty ominous, really. I mean, this is ominous stuff. And part of it is because we all have our own wrestling match with sin. We have our own wrestling match with evil thoughts that come into our mind or terrible thoughts. And we have a passage here of the Lord trying to help Cain at this time of testing. It says this, that in verse 4, and now the man had relations with his wife and conceived and gave birth to Cain and said, I have gotten a man-child the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to Abel. Another child came. In verse 3, so it came about in the course of time. In the course of time. Or at the end of many days. Okay? It came about at the end of many days. Now they're no longer children. Now they're adults. At the end of many days. We find that Abel grows up and he becomes a shepherd. And Cain grows up and he becomes a farmer. Now, we read chapter 3, we find that Adam was doing both of those things. So he was both a rancher and a farmer. And so the kids, one son went this path and the other one did that path. We see here that there's no We don't see any sign that says, "And God saith unto them, you shall bringeth forth a sacrifice." No. There's something going on here that is saying that inside they are wanting to maintain some relationship with God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. This is the first sacrifice or offering that we see in the Bible. Some have said, well, the reason why he didn't accept Cain's and accepted Abel's is because Abel's was a blood sacrifice and Cain's was not. But that's not the answer. I've heard that. Because later on, Moses would say that both sacrifices are okay. There's nothing unholy about a grain sacrifice. And this sacrifice was not considered a sin sacrifice. So we have to look at it as like it was a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. Okay? Some have said this has to do with the fact that God just didn't like grain. And so this is a providential thing. God says, no, I like this, I don't like this, deal with it. But the nice thing is this, is the Bible allows us to see the whole of Scripture, and Scripture interprets Scripture. The greatest commentary on the Old Testament is, in fact, the New Testament. And we, in fact, do find the answer in the New Testament. Now, the fact that this is given to us through the Holy Spirit, through Moses, to a group of people before they went into the land, I believe that God has given this picture, and he gave it to his people even then to say, here's how we deal with disappointments with God. Here's how we deal with times of testing when we don't get our way. See, I think that there's something going on here that is much deeper. There's something wrong with Cain. And the issue is sin. Now, the Bible says that in the book of Romans, that sin came into the line through Adam. And so that means that both Cain and Abel were sinners. Okay? Abel was attempting, as he brought his sacrifice and offering, to, in fact, it was pleasing to the Lord. Both Abel and the sacrifice were pleasing to the Lord. But it says that both Cain and his offering were not. We see this picture time and time again. I want to look, first of all, before we get into, I think, the key lesson, who are the cast of characters? First is God, Yahweh. That's the name, and we see the name Yahweh used here. We see him as being gracious. He's warning and trying to prevent a catastrophe from taking place. And he's warning Cain, hey, listen, I know you're depressed. Do what's right, and it'll be okay, but watch out because sin is crouching at the door and his desire is for you. You master it. With God's help and guidance, he could have had victory. I love the fact that God does not just throw us into the deep water and wondering when we're going to drown. But the Lord is there. The Lord's presence is there. The Lord's fellowship is there. The Lord's word is there. And the fellowship of supportive people. He could have gone to mom and dad. He could have gone to his brother. Hey, let's work this thing out. But no. So we see God, and he's depicted, and we see Abel, and he's depicted as a righteous man. He's a, you know, he's a rancher, and he brings it. You see a difference here. He says he brought the first and the best and the fat. Jesus would say, in Luke chapter 11, verses 50 to 51, here's what it says. In order that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar on the house of God. Yet I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. Jesus himself said there was something prophetic about Abel. His blood cried out from the grave. It's something we find, we'll find later on, we'll talk about in Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about, by faith, Abel. So Jesus says, hey, there's something prophetic about this guy. He was one of the good guys. So we see a picture of God. We see a picture of Abel. And then we see a picture of sin. The sin is depicted as an animal waiting to pounce and devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 will say that Satan prowls like a hungry, roaring lion seeking victims to devour. In John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the picture is that the sin itself is something that is actively trying to pursue you. And Cain is filled with these powerful impulses. Dark thoughts. Where are they coming from? Dark, dark thoughts. I'm so angry, I'm going to kill my brother. Wow. I want to pause here because there's something that, you know, we come across at times in our own life. What do we do with these dark thoughts? And the Lord says the solution is found in him. I really feel right now, I mean, this is a sub-note. I wrote it down in my, because I don't want to forget it. Terrible tragedy in Afghanistan. Soldier who allegedly has murdered all these people. You know, fourth or fifth time he's been back in combat, and there's no excuse. I mean, murder's murder. Just this week in the Bay Area, soldier coming back kills his sister, kills his mom. I'm here to tell you that we either just leave people to themselves, or we help them. The only help is the Lord. I'm not a soldier. I'm a pastor. I felt like I've been in war a couple times, but I don't want to. Some of you have been soldiers. And let me encourage you. Keep your radar open. Because men and women are coming back. And they're beat up. They're in shock. And so I believe that the solution will be God's people. I have no problem with them going and talking to a therapist or something. But what they really need is the grace of God, the light of God. So now we look at Cain. God warns Cain, and Cain simply doesn't say anything in reply. And so we're going to see that silence is a real big part of the problem here. It was a problem that his father had. While Eve was being tempted by the serpent, what was Adam doing? You know, sitting there saying nothing. Cain's problem was not to be found in his livelihood, but in himself. Cain, like so many people today, wanted to come to God, but he wanted to do it his way. We may not see it completely spelled out there, but when we read all the passages of Scripture, that's exactly what has happened. He wanted to do it his way. There's an old hamburger commercial, you know, we do it your way. You know? That's not how God does it. You can only get to heaven God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We can put on the outward trappings of religion. We can say that there is a God. But inside, we're doing it our way. And every time I see that in Scripture, when we rely on our own understanding or our own kind of cloak of religious life or churchianity, and we're not allowing Christ to penetrate to the heart of the matter, then we find ourselves in a very bad spot. Because God does not promise to help us when we're playing games. He says, come to me. And so we have here an example of Cain, who was a very religious person. He was not irreligious. He brought a sacrifice. But he wanted to come to God on his own terms. He didn't really understand that it was an issue of the heart, which we'll talk more about. Someone said, you can go to heaven God's way, or you can go to hell any way you please. Sounds like a country western song, all right? All right? He believed in God. He wanted God's approval, but he wanted to come to God on his own terms, not God's terms. And we see a gracious God seeking out Cain, even in his dysfunction. We see a loving Father coming and reaching out to him. Moses tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter, verses 4b and 5, it says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. The problem, the source of the problem was Cain, and the symptom was the sacrifice. There was something going on in Cain's heart. What about your heart today? Only God really knows. He says in the scriptures, put away all malice and bitterness and wrath and envy and strife. He says, put all that away. But we can cover it over. We can get dressed up for church. And the Lord is saying, no, that's a dangerous thing. Not dangerous to come to church, but dangerous when we put on the outward cloak. The Bible informs us that there are two ways. It will say that there's the way of Cain. It actually uses that word, the way of Cain. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says there's the way of Abel, the way of faith. So what is the way of Cain? I believe the way of Cain is to turn to anger when God desires adjustment. Anger instead of adjustment. Verse 5, for Cain and his offering had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. You see, when he had no regard, he had regard for Abel, not, he should have thought, boy, I want to be right with God. I had to figure out how I can please God. But he was disappointed. And his disappointment led him to anger. Plenty of times in Scripture where things didn't work out the way that the people wanted, but God was still there. God had a different plan. What about your life? Does it have to work out exactly the way you want for you to be at peace? Or maybe God is testing, saying, hold on, I haven't left. The next thing we see is that, now, let me pause here about this issue of depression. He got depressed because he was angry. And I don't want to presuppose that all depression has anger at its core. Here's what I would say, is that ultimately depression, you have to analyze this because we all struggle with it in different ways. Some, it's a fetal position they don't want to get out of, they don't want to get out of bed. You know. Others, they just, you know, walk like deer in the headlights, you know. But ultimately, the Lord says, if you do what is right, your countenance will be lifted up. That's what it says. So when we're feeling bad, what we should say, Lord, what would you have me do? And I would say this is one of the key things when we struggle with depression. We must get our eyes off of ourselves, and we must get them on the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? I've had people come in and say, you know, this church, that church or that church, that's the most unfriendly place. I said, well, it may be true, but, you know, get your eyes off of yourself. Say, Lord, help me to be friendly. Help me to be whatever. It's hard. I know it's hard. But I also know, because I've seen it, the issue that depression or the dropping of our countenance, and I know in my own life, if I just take a step back and say, Lord, I need to focus on the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? So here's the first way of Cain is anger when God desires adjustment. Next, silence when God desires communication and prayer. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, its desire is for you, but you must master it. God's trying to have a conversation with Cain. And Cain won't have anything to do with it. He's going to give God the silent treatment. All right? You ever done that? Give God the silent treatment. I'll get back at God. I won't talk to him. You know? It's like getting back at your toaster by not plugging it in, you know? Sin typically seeks silence from God. Prayer, then, is one of the key barometers for our faith. If you find yourself in a time, I'm not going to pray. Why? Typically, it's some kind of something broken with God. Friends, we need to communicate with our Heavenly Father, even our disappointments. I greatly appreciate the Psalms, because in the Psalms, David, who was a man after God's own heart, God said that himself, because David just brought things to the Lord. He brought things to the Lord. I love the fact that an example in Scripture, Jacob was having a hard time. He's going back, and you know he's going to bump into his brother Esau, and his brother Esau has some stuff against him. He's scared. Wasn't sure if he should go. You know what he did one whole night? He wrestled with God. He wrestled with God. Friends, God is not fearful of you wrestling with him. He'll always win. But why didn't Cain say, God, I don't get this. I'm working hard. I'm a farmer. I look at this stuff. What's wrong with... And God would have told him. There's something wrong with your heart. Here's what it did. God will always tell you. God will always tell you. He'll tell you the truth. Sometimes you got to wait. Oh, Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. I've been a believer 35 years now. God has always answered that prayer. He's good at it. He said, okay, Gary, read the Bible. Just read it. Read the epistles. Read Ephesians, read Colossians, read... Are you doing that? No. Okay, then do that. So basically here, that the way of Cain is to shut God out and not pray, thinking, I don't need God. God is like a trained monkey, and I'll bring him out when I need him to be amused. And God says, I'm not a trained monkey. I am the creator of the universe. The next thing we see here, first is anger when God desires adjustment. Silence when God desires prayer and communication. Next, the way of Cain downplays the impact of sin when God is trying to warn us. Cain chose to ignore God's gentle prompting and prodding, and he was letting him know the dangers of ahead. God could see into his heart that he was mute. Thinking inside, hey, I'm gonna take it out on Abel. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God says, hey, I've always provide a way of escape for you. The devil says, no, you can't escape this. You know, there's no solution. You just got to give in to whatever your desire is. No, God says, if you want to be blessed, if you want your countenance raised, you want blessing in your life, then do it my way. And here we have it at the very get-go, and next week we'll talk about it more, that here's how the enemy works. I mean, that there we find in in the book of Genesis, you see the way of Cain and you see the way of Abel. The way of Abel is the way of faith. The way of Cain is, I want to do it my way. And throughout the rest of Scripture, you see the story of what happens to people who try to do it their way, and it never works out. Those who do it Abel's way by faith, is their life without challenge? No, plenty of challenges, but God promises to be there. Cain's way is, I don't need God. I'm not going to talk to God. I'll make up my own gods. I'll be God. Abel's way, even through the thick and thin, Lord, you are my shepherd. That's what it is. Next thing we see is that in the way of Cain is we see lies when God desires the truth. Here, verse 8. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. In verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? And he says, I don't know. All right. Interesting here. Look at this. Verse 8. And Cain told Abel, his brother. Told him what? Told him why he was upset. Now, God didn't say, boy, you know, your little brother gave me a better offering. Why don't you give an offering just like your little brother? No. He just says, you know what to do. Do what's right. Sin lies. Sin rationalizes. And the definition of rationalizes, it rational lies. Okay? And this is what happens. God says, hey, where's your brother? He says, I don't know. That's a lie. So we're not only not talking to God, but now we're not being honest with God. Oh, there's nothing wrong. Things are just hunky-dory. Everything's fine. No, they're not. According to who? And God wants to be the one who dispenses truth. Next, we see in the way of Cain, first, anger when God desires adjustment, silence when God desires prayer, downplaying impact of sin when God wants to warn us. Next, lies when God desires truth. Next, insolence when God wants answers. Check this out. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother, Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's insolence. This is a Hebrew play on words. The word keeper there is the word shepherd. Abel was a shepherd. Am I my shepherd? Am I the shepherd's shepherd? Smart aleck. Sarcastic. Insolent. I'm going to put God in his place. I'm going to lie to him, and I'm going to get a little sassy with him. Parents, no, I won't even do that. You were a kid one day. I want you to think about the first time you thought being sassy towards your parent. How did that go? Does not go well. So I can share my own personal story because I have many. All right? My grandmother, who was the sweetest person who ever lived, you know, much sweeter than either Mother Teresa, I'm sure. All right? And she would read bedtime stories to us. But she had all these little china things, and I would go, and I want to touch them, and she says, no, please don't do that. I said, okay. And then I do it again, and, oh, no, don't do that. And my father is going, oh, yeah. You're handling this all wrong, Mom. And he's, you know. And so my dad spanks me like that, you know. And I said to my dad, that didn't hurt. Do I hear of a testimony on this? It never happened to you. Okay. Then he goes, gauntlet thrown down. Grandma there going, I said, I got grandma to protect me, okay? Oh, don't do that, you know. And he swats me again. I said, that didn't hurt. So he then, we're going to do the trip, the walk of shame upstairs, okay? Close the door while grandma's saying, be gentle, you know, or whatever. God, the Lord was using my father. I mean, he didn't, I mean, listen, it's another story about what I think about spanking and stuff like that. But I should have been spanked much harder, much more often. All right? You know why? There's something inside the wicked heart of a person that will be sarcastic and insolent. That didn't hurt God. Where's my brother? I don't know. Am I my shepherd? Am I the shepherd's shepherd? Ha ha ha. Real funny, huh? He killed his brother and buried him in a field. Can't even imagine. We see here, because of that, now that time, you know, the last thing here we see is the issue of indignation when God desires repentance. Now, the indignation came when God says this. Verse 10. And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother is crying out from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother from his hand. So when you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you, and you shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Friends, God says, okay, I tried to save you from this. I tried to save you from this, a life of unfruitfulness, and now you're going to be a vagrant, a wanderer, and you're not going to be a very good farmer anymore. You see, Adam and Eve placed in the garden. God said, you're going to be able to get everything you need. It'll grow, and it's pleasing and wonderful, okay? Now God says in the curse, there's going to be weeds, there's going to be toil, all right? But now we have it intensified, specifically to Cain. The ground which wants to yield forth this produce is going to be unfruitful for you. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a farmer, but I've had gardens every once in a while. Sometimes it doesn't do so good. Either I'm stupid or I just planted at the wrong time or the bugs came. And I plant again because my whole livelihood isn't based upon it. My pride is based upon it, but not my livelihood. The issue is that Cain is not only the curse, but now it is compounded specifically. Your life is going to be fruitless and you're going to be a wanderer. And instead of saying, God, I'm sorry, I didn't handle that well. Please forgive me for killing my brother. Please forgive me for having a wicked heart. I think God would have forgiven him. But he says, wait a minute, that's too hard. That's too tough. Indignation when God desired repentance. Now, we want to look at the light of this from a couple of New Testament scriptures, okay? Jude chapter 11 says this, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. For pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Well, what does that mean? Balaam was a person who was a false prophet who was telling people you can follow the God of Israel, but you also can live all the sensual things you want to do. You can live a life of hypocrisy. And basically this is rebellion. And there's something in the heart of Cain that was rebellious. And God would not receive his offering. 1 John 3:11 to 12. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another and not as Cain, who was evil one, who slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Friends, we'll talk about this in a second. Isn't it interesting that when our relationship with God is broken, that our relationship with people is broken? We take it out on people. We take it out on those we love, we're supposed to love. So when someone, I don't know why I was so angry. Yeah, I do. Things aren't right with God. I don't know why I'm so bitter. No, I know. The Bible says it's the way of Cain. It's the way of Cain. So if you have an anger problem, or every once in a while you just go do a Jekyll and Hyde thing, you know what? It's a problem with your relationship with God. And I can say that very authoritatively because that's what the Bible says. And I say that not to just put you down. That is the only way of hope. Because if it's a problem with God, then God is there and you can get it fixed. Amen? Or God would have just wiped you out. He would have vaporized us. But God strives with us. He is long-suffering and patient with us. But he will never bless sin. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a testimony which he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he was dead, he still speaks. The issue was this. One came with faith and trust, and one did not. One did not. Martin Luther said these words many years later. You cannot separate the man from his offering. You cannot separate the man from his offering. The difference between Cain and Abel was faith. The difference between Cain and Abel is one had a heart that was towards God and one did not. Now here's some lessons in closing. The lesson of this is that God puts a priority on the condition of our heart in the attitude of our worship. And I believe that God will test this. God will test this. There's a difference between Cain's heart and Abel's heart. Scripture says that Abel brought the fat portions, the better portions. But ultimately, it was an issue of faith. The issue seems to be that Cain brought something, not really too fussy about it. He just brought what was there, realizing I'm going to go through the motions. And we can do that as believers. We simply go through the motions. We never think about not going to church, because what would people say? But we go through the motions. Does the Lord have your heart today? Are you in that spot? Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. The Bible says the condition of our heart is everything. We can come and we can sing praises at Grace Church. We can give our tithes and offerings, which we should. But our heart can be contrary to the Lord. Micah says in Micah 6, 6 to 8, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before his exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? Get this. But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Wow. Walk humbly with God. Friends, it's not about gifts, how big they are, but God wants your heart. King David in Psalm 51, verses 16 to 17. You do not delight in sacrifice where I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. David, who had committed adultery, had Uriah murdered, had lied about it. As a result, lost a child, confronted by Nathan the prophet, he would fall on his knees and say, Lord, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. A man after God's heart. You know that it was said that he was a man after God's heart after the thing with Bathsheba? Samuel. Saul goes out, said, okay, you're supposed to go and kill the Amalekites and kill everything they have. Don't save any of their cattle, no, or nothing. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15. The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Wait a minute. God said, wipe it all out. But they got there and said, nah, we don't want to do that. 1 Samuel 15, 22, 23. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obedience, obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is much better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Friends, the Lord wants our heart. He wants us to walk humbly before Him. He wants us to simply do it His way. And when we come up in disappointing times, and they will come, and our temptation is to be angry or bitter or depressed, we must throw ourselves into the hands of God. He will never leave us or forsake us. And I know some of you are going through very, very difficult times now, unspeakable things. The solution is for all of us. We must cling to God. We must walk in faith. The last thing I'll share is this. Sin always breaks things. I'm watching this stuff last night. Gamble, drink, lust. The world says, it's your prerogative. I look in a world that's broken. Sin breaks things. The danger of substituting religion instead of a relationship with God. So, it breaks our relationship with God, but we also see here that when our relationship with God is broken, that our relationship with people is fractured. And we typically take out our dysfunction with God on other people, on people. And here, to the max, he kills his brother. And lastly, it breaks our relationship with God, it breaks our relationship with people, and get this, it breaks our relationship with ourselves. We become disenchanted, and here we see a verse that, to me, I have an underline here. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Picture right here. And settled in the land of Nod, the east of Eden. You know what the land of Nod means? The land of wandering. Are you in the land of wandering today? I believe the land of wandering is for any person who is not walking with the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And so we walk with Him. It's a choice that we have to make. What happens in our own relationships? We become wanderers. We become fearful. Oh, they're going to come and kill me. And we become fruitless in our lives. I'm not sure where you're at or what you need to deal with, but I know this. As I study this sermon, there are things that I must deal with in my life. And the Lord says, I'm right there. Come to me. Isn't that good? But I have to, each day of my life, give the Lord all of it. We're going to stand, we're going to sing this old song, Take My Life and Let It Be. And if the Lord has spoken to you, I invite you, you want to come forward and for prayer, or just come forward as the time of rededication, I invite you to do that. So let's sing this song, Take My Life and Let It Be. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy law. Take thy feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my voice and let them be endless usages for thee, filled with messages for thee.
Go to the last one, last stanza. Here we go.
Take my life, then, Lord, I pour at thy feet thy treasure store. Take myself and let it be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
One of the verses we didn't read, take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Friends, today we learn the lesson. Christ must be at the throne of our life. Cast all your cares upon him. Heavenly Father, use our lives. Fill us, Lord. Help us to turn to you during times of disappointment. Times when we are sensing that something's wrong. Maybe there is something wrong. Maybe there's something we need to correct. Thank you, Lord, that you're right there to help us. Fill us with your Spirit now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Come back tonight if you can.